Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu. Today is September 7, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. We're going to start today's show with the news that the Chinese government has accused the NSA's Office of Tailored Access Operations, also known as TAO, of hacking the Northwestern Polytechnical University in the city of Xi'an. In a joint report published on Monday by China's National Computer Virus Emergency Response Center and security firm Qihoo360, Chinese officials said they discovered over 40 strains of NSA-linked cyber weapons on the university's network. This included backdoor malware and proxy systems that were allegedly used to steal more than 140 gigabytes of university data. The report is explosive in its accusations, but as several security experts have pointed out online, has very little technical merits, being built entirely on malware leaked during the Shadow Brokers and Edward Snowden leaks more than half a decade ago. The report also comes after months in which Chinese officials have constantly and repeatedly accused the US of hacking Chinese targets and being a world champion in cyber espionage. All past accusations lacked any proof of an intrusion and squarely fell in the realm of obvious political propaganda meant to portray Beijing and Southeast Asian countries as victims of a massive US global surveillance campaign. The reports also appear to show that Beijing is apparently weaponizing and trivializing the act of APT attribution for political image gains. Moving on to recent news of breaches and security incidents, we have quite a few of these to cover since our Monday edition. The most interesting one comes from the Intercontinental Hotels Group, which disclosed a security breach on Tuesday in documents filed with the London Stock Exchange. The company said that its systems had been significantly disrupted since yesterday and that the attack was still ongoing, but did not provide any information about what type of incident this was. This marks the second security incident the hotel group discloses after more than 1,200 of its hotels were also hacked back in 2017. Also this week, Chinese social media company TikTok denied that it suffered a security breach. The company's statement comes after a threat actor claimed over the weekend to be in possession of more than 2 billion records related to TikTok and WeChat accounts. Since the hacker's original claims, the InfoSec community has been combing through the alleged breach, and current evidence suggests that TikTok may be right and the leaked data may not have originated from its servers. In addition, the cybersecurity division of French telecommunications giant Orange also said it was investigating a possible breach after a hacker put up for sale data for some of its cybersecurity customers in France. Besides a leak of company customers' data, the hacker also offered to sell access to Orange Cyber Defense's servers, a claim that Orange may be a little more worried than the actual leak. Also in breach news, LAUSD, the second largest school district in the United States, said on Monday it was hit by ransomware over the weekend. Despite reporting significant disruptions to some of its systems, the district said classes would resume as normal on Tuesday after the extended Labor Day weekend. The incident marks the latest in a long list of ransomware attacks that have been conducted against US schools over the past few weeks and is most likely one of the reasons why the US government published a multi-agency joint security alert on Tuesday warning about attackers targeting schools and about the Vice Society ransomware group in particular. Moving on to other government and policy-related news, the Chinese government launched on Monday a Cybersecurity Awareness Week at its military bases as part of an effort to boost cybersecurity literacy among its troops. In Australia, the Australian Federal Police also said this week that it was setting up a new division in its police force to go after cryptocurrency fraud, especially when cryptocurrency is used in money laundering operations. In Europe, the Russian government said on Monday that it launched a marketplace for Russian-made software that would be legally approved and safe to use on Russian government and private networks. The store is currently in a test mode with several IT associations and was created after several major Western IT companies have pulled out of Russia and after the country's invasion of Ukraine, when the Kremlin regime became suspicious that Western companies may allow foreign states to spy on its government operations. Meanwhile, in news related to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Security Service of Ukraine said it shut down two more bot farms, one in Kyiv and one in Odessa. SSU officials said the two bot farms had almost 700 bots and had been posting content to discredit Ukraine's army and to justify Russia's military invasion. Moving on to cybercrime news, the FBI and the DOJ said on Tuesday that they seized four domains belonging to WT1 Shop, a cybercrime marketplace where threat actors have been selling millions of records of PII data, such as scanned ID documents, bank accounts, card numbers, and stolen login credentials. U.S. authorities also charged the site's operator, which they identified as Nikolai Koleshnikov, age 36, of the Republic of Moldova. Also on Tuesday, Interpol officials also announced that they detained 12 suspects that were part of a cybercrime gang that engaged in sextortion schemes across Asia. According to an Interpol press release, the group would contact their victims, based mainly in Hong Kong and Singapore, through online sex and dating platforms before asking them to download a malicious mobile app to engage in naked chats. Officials said the app was specifically designed to steal their phone's contact lists, which the sextortion gang would use to blackmail victims by threatening to circulate their nudes to relatives and friends. In interesting threat intelligence reports published this week, we have one from Checkpoint, who in a blog post on Tuesday covered Dangerous Savannah, a name they have given to a malware campaign that has targeted financial institutions in French-speaking African countries. Checkpoint said the campaign has been taking place since late 2020 and is still going on today. Another interesting report came from Avast, which looked at the activities of No Name 57, a pro-Russian hacktivist group that has been attacking Ukrainian websites with DDoS attacks for the past few months. According to Avast, the group seems to operate a botnet built on the Bobbik malware, which is usually installed on Windows systems already compromised by the Redline info stealer. In addition, in a similarly interesting report on Tuesday, Palo Alto Networks said it identified a series of attacks against unpatched D-Link devices. Researchers said these devices would be infected with the MooBot IoT malware and would later be used to carry out DDoS attacks. Teasing an upcoming report, Advanced Intelligence CEO Vitaly Kremens also revealed on Tuesday that the Emotet botnet has been going really strong this year, despite coming back after law enforcement shutdown, having infected at least 1.3 million systems in the first 7 months of 2022. Similarly, researchers from Team Simru said they are now seeing an increase in the use of the Mythic C2 framework in malware operations, similarly to how other Red Team tools like Metasploit, Cobalt Strike and Sliver have been repurposed by threat actors for their operations. The company said that it's currently detecting around 76 Mythic servers in the wild, but is unable to tell which are used for Red Team engagements and which are used in malware operations. This number would place Mythic as the third most used red teaming tool by threat actors after the likes of Cobalt Strike and Metasploit. In malware news, we had several companies publish breakdowns on malware strains over the past few days. For example, we had AT&T's Alien Lab cover the new Chiquitega IoT malware, Zscaler cover recent updates to the Ares banking Trojan, ProDev's report on Tesla Gun, the backend panel of the Serve Help backdoor, OI Lab's report on the new DBAT loader, and Trend Micro's report highlighting possible connections between the Play, Nokoyava, and Hive ransomware operations. In APT news, we only had one report published this week, a report from ESET that covered Warrock, a relatively new cyber espionage group that has been active since at least 2020. One thing that stood out about the group's operations was their widespread use of steganography to hide malware payloads inside PNG images. As for security news from the tech industry, the big news this week was that Instagram got fined $400 million on Monday by Ireland's Data Protection Agency for the company's mishandling of children's personal information. The fine is related to research published back in 2019 that found that Instagram was exposing the personal contact data of millions of children to anyone via its website. And last but not least, the Chrome team said this week that it is now formally testing its new storage partitioning system in Chrome beta and Canary builds. This is a new privacy mechanism added to Chrome that stores cookies and other web data separate per each domain, as a way to prevent users from being tracked via third-party cookies dropped on websites by ads or analytics code. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. You can find links to all reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.